this Barstool?
BarstoolSports.com. Is that right? BarstoolSports.com.
It's your boy KFC.
Become kind of a craze. Become kind of a craze.
Your boy Big Cat.
Kind of a craze. Kind of a craze.
And your boy Feidelberg.
So go to BarstoolSports.com. If you do, God bless you.
You listen to KFC Radio.
All right, KFC Radio episode 151. I saw a lot of tweets over the holidays. A lot of people tweeting out pictures of their new Movement watches. Safe to say that it was one of the biggest hits of the holiday season. Everybody jumped on the Movement watch train, giving it to their friends and family, scooping up gifts for themselves. They're the hottest, most affordable, most stylish watches on the market right now. I got a set of three. I got three of them, and I've seen so many people tweeting out other pictures and other styles that I'm jealous. I want to get a few more myself. Might actually even throw down and actually buy them instead of going through the sponsor and getting them for free. They start at just $95. You're not going to break the bank. And they got everything from leather straps to suede to the metal links, every sort of style out there. And you don't have to spend $400, $500. It's minimalistic, clean, and sleek. And you can wear it whether you're dressing up or whether you're just wearing jeans and a t-shirt. All day wear. No problem. So head over to mvmtwatches.com/KFC, and you'll get 15% off your entire purchase order. That's mvmtwatches.com/KFC. All right. We got a sorry trio here. If you listened to the rundown yesterday, everybody's falling apart. Everybody's body is a wreck. I didn't even really chime in on that conversation, boys. I'm not sleeping. My back is shot just from carrying around this little, like, 7-pound baby. It's like...
How often are you sleeping? Because it doesn't seem like you're, like, losing that much sleep. At least if you are, you're not bitching about it.
Yeah, I made it a good... Well, there's a couple things going on. I made a point to myself to try not to complain about that too much, because I really don't like the people who do that. Like, oh, you're tired? Try being me. I got a 5-week-old kid. It's like nobody fucking cares. Also, my wife has been doing the bulk of the work. So I can't say that I'm, it's not like I'm a single dad here dying. But it's not fun. That shit is real. Out of all the, like, child – having a child shit, like, a lot of it's exaggerated and some of it's not as hard as it is. But, like, that baby does not sleep.
Have you done coffee yet or no?
No, I still have not done coffee.
You fucking idiot.
No, man. I mean, me and Tom Brady, it's for suckers. Coffee's for suckers.
John, you fucking idiot.
I know you're not drinking it anymore, John.
No, I did it for like 3 days. And first of all, it does make me sick still, but I was like going to try and, like, I don't know, I guess like heroin, like kind of just ease my way into it and start with like small coffees and then start getting it. But it doesn't make me like... focus on anything like that. It just makes you really jittery and sweaty.
The thing with coffee, I never really see – I don't feel the effect. The same thing – it's like taking like aspirin to me, taking Tylenol. I never like pop some Tylenol and I'm like, oh, I feel so much better. I'm not hurting.
Really? Oh, yeah. Man. I'll like – anytime I have a hangover or a little sore, I'll fucking Brett Favre that shit and throw like 8 of them back.
Really?
Great.
I'm Kevin there too. I never really feel it.
Yeah. I'll do it just because I'm like, I'll try anything. Maybe this is the time it magically works. But unless it's like some heavy duty shit, I don't feel it. So when I drink a coffee, I'm not like, oh man, I'm ready to work now. So, but no, I'm holding strong. And at this point, I feel like I have to no matter what. I'll just be tired and like bad at my job before I cave in and become a mental midget like you guys.
Hear that, Stoolies? He's working for you. He'd rather suck at his job than drink a fucking cup of coffee.
We got a big batch of voicemails to pick from since we didn't really do any last week as well. We'll just dive right in head first. Talking about dick size.
Oof.
Yo,
Cassie, I got a question for you. So, one of my buddies just revealed that he has an 8-inch dick, and I'm trying to figure out, like, how does he let girls know that he has an 8-inch dick without coming off as creepy? Because obviously, like, that's a huge sin for him. Like, if they have girls that know that, they would want to have sex with him more. But how do you reveal that without, like, coming off as creepy? All right, thanks. See you.
All right, you got a huge hammer. How do you let people know that you have a huge hammer?
Is this guy, if this guy isn't in college, then his friend is lying.
Say it again?
If this guy isn't in, if this guy is not, is in college,
right,
his friend is lying. Because when you're in college, if you have a friend and he's got a big dick, you know about it like almost instantly. Whether it be using it as a prop or just like around the dorms, just like the big dick guy on the hallway, he fucking lets everyone know he's got a big dick pretty quickly.
Right.
So
right.
It's bullshit if he's in college. His friend can't just one day be like, I got a big dick.
Fights?
What was the exact question?
His buddy has an 8-inch dick. How do you let girls know that without coming off as creepy?
It's you have to do that. Your friends have to say it. Again, I think I've said this on the show before, where if I haven't seen your dick and you haven't seen mine, then I'm not even really technically your friend. Like, you to be friends with someone, you gotta have seen that dick in all kinds of situations. Probably, like, banging in a bed next to you at some point, maybe catching a shower, catch him doing a helicopter at a party once. That's, like, that's how friends... that's guy stuff. Just guys being guys there. But then you just have to have your friends to talk about it all the time. That's the only way. You can't personally do it. Like, I had a friend we called Meat. And girls would say, why do you call him Meat? And it's like, oh, because he has a humongous cock.
That's a good way to do it, is like have a nickname about your giant dick. So that when it's just you're coming off in casual conversation, someone asks what it is. The real way to do it is to just...
I have a friend now we just call cock. We didn't try to hide it.
Yeah, hold
hey,
on.
Big penis. What's up, big penis?
Wait, the more I'm thinking about this, fuck this fucking guy. And he's not only a liar, but fuck him. And are we to believe that he just showed up with his friends one day and was like, hey, guys, I got this big problem. Yeah. Can I have your ear for a minute?
Yeah.
I got an 8-inch dick, and I need to find out how girls can figure it out. Shut the fuck up. That's a lie.
When he says,
this is all a lie. Like, fuck this guy.
It's probably about himself. It's probably, yeah, it's probably his own dick. And he's doing like, oh, I got this friend thing.
Listen, the real way to do it is you just – you have sex with one girl.
Yes.
And then she tells everyone.
Yes.
So it's just – you got to get one. It's just like, you know, you're in a slump. You just got to get one and everything falls in place. She'll let everybody know and then it multiplies. It's like, you know, it's – what's that word?
Which
– exponential.
Which is an awful thing to think about, Kevin, because then you think about your own life and how many people know you got a small dick.
Right.
Like, that sucks. Like, a lot of people out there are like, oh, yeah, isn't that the small dick guy?
Right.
Like, if you just reverse the logic there, we're fucked.
Well, I mean, do you think they run around talking about who has a medium dick? I feel like it's either like that guy's a big dick, that guy's a small dick. It's a medium
it's
dick.
Small dick, big, it's small dick, big dick, premature ejaculation.
That's what he's talking about, right?
Right. I would imagine. Maybe a girl can call in later give us some insight on this, but I would imagine those are the three things that are talked about amongst girls.
Yeah, I can't imagine a text chain where it's like this guy had like 5.5-inch dick and he lasted like 12 minutes. It's either like a disaster zone or very good, but you're not getting that wheelhouse where we're all in.
And I don't have a big dick, so you can figure out what else is getting talked about.
All right, let's see what else we got here. I got to look through a couple batches here. Let's talk about we talked about the Rams a little bit on the rundown. This is a Rams fan calling in.
Oh, we didn't get that on the rundown either then.
All right, good. Well, this is perfect then.
Yeah.
What's up, guys? Long-time Rams fan here. Had a question for you. What do I do now that the Rams are gone in LA? I can't root for them because of Crosby. Do I get a new team? Do I, like, somehow begrudgingly, like, stick with them? Do I just, like, not have a team anymore and Cardinals fan, like, what the hell do I do? Yeah, I'll let you guys get to it.
So, Rams fans are free agents now. Everybody is pretty much in agreement that Rams fans can do whatever they want right now, really, within reason, and you can't hold it against them.
You can't. That actually is a very important distinction. I think I tweeted this. You cannot become a fan of a team that's won a Super Bowl in the last decade. Cannot do that.
A decade might be... I'm trying to think of what's a decade.
It's all kind of redundant. Like, you can't be a Ravens, Steelers, Patriots, Seahawks fan.
Okay, yeah, that's fair. I mean, if you just jump on the Patriots right now, you're an asshole. You're also not going to go pick, you know, one of the worst teams out there. So you have probably 10 teams to choose from, And yep. that is free reign. Go nuts. Like, no matter what your reason is, you like the fucking uniforms, your grandfather lives in another city where that team plays, whatever it may be, you're allowed to pick whatever you want, and nobody can give you shit. But, let's say, hypothetically, who...
I liked your... And I don't know if this got cut out of the rundown. Kevin, your idea of just becoming an NFL fan.
Yep.
I like it. You do lose a little of, the big game feel that you can never get back. That's the one downside.
For sure.
You can't have that. I actually think if you're a Rams fan, you take total advantage of this, and you treat next year like The Bachelor, and you go to, five stadiums, and you, try out being a fan of each one. That sounds like a great time.
Yeah, now, I like that.
I think this also, part of this depends on, how often you went to a game.
Right.
Because for me, I live nearby, and I still just don't get out to many Jets games just because it's a production. It's expensive. It's not easy. So if the Jets were in Los Angeles, that would still be my team. You know what I mean? It wouldn't really affect me.
That's what my thing on this is too. And it might be because I have so much loyalty to the Pats because of everything that's happened. But it might be different if I was a casual fan and not someone who'd fucking gone to jail and blogged about it for 5 years. But no matter what Robert Kraft did, if he took the team to St. Louis tomorrow, I'm a Patriots fan. Because you can never – even if say this kid's our age, say he becomes a Jaguars fan and the Jaguars get good and they're in the Super Bowl, you can't – you have to have the childhood memories too. You can't just – He'll never care about the Jaguars as much as anyone else cares about their team.
Right. The real answer, and this is the truth here, Fred, I'm going to give you a little piece of advice, buddy, and you better listen closely here. Two pieces. One, I heard you say just be a bigger Cardinals fan. Don't fucking do that. The world doesn't need any bigger Cardinals
fan. Can you even get, bigger? That's almost like you're not a good enough fan. You're not a maximum Cardinals fan at all.
What if Hitler killed 12 million Jews? Get the fuck out of here, man. Don't do that. Just move to a real city and root for that team. St. Louis sucks. Have you guys ever been to St. Louis? It's a fucking dump. It's not even a city. There's, four blocks. Get the fuck out of St. Louis and root for the team and live in that other city for the rest of your life. And be happy.
What were Rams fans? I mean, every NFL team has just so many rabid fans now. But were Rams fans considered a diehard bunch?
No, they had 30,000 people at that stadium every single game.
And because like you said, they were technically the original Cardinals transplants. So
yeah, right.
I think my idea is kind of the best though. I think you either stick with them or you're just the NFL is going to be a party to me. I'm watching every game just for the fucking highlights, the fun, the wings, the booze.
And one other tip for this kid, don't go to the Colts. Don't go to any team that's begging you to come, that's groveling for you to come.
I think you can do Chiefs, though, because it is the same state. And you can and Andy Reid's fun, and the Chiefs seem like a fun fan base, and they haven't won shit. Yeah. So not going to get
– They're comparable in, stature as far as a franchise goes. So.
Right.
Speaking of the NFL, we got the divisional weekend going, which means one of your last chances to play DraftKings, one of your last chances to win big money for the NFL before we move on to the NBA, the NHL, and eventually baseball season. The long, dark offseason awaits. Dan, the sandwich is almost done. How much sandwich would you say is left? Like a bite?
No,
or is
just a dessert. The sandwich is a regular season, and then the playoffs are like a cookie.
Just a cookie?
Yeah.
The playoffs are bigger than just a cookie.
It's like a cookie. It's a cookie with, it's like one of those cookies that they put ice cream on. So they bake it. What do they call it? The skillet cookies.
Got it. Like a cookie cake.
Yeah.
Got it. So you got a cookie cake left, and that's not very much, and there's only a few more chances to make that big-time NFL football money. So this weekend, the excitement continues. It's not fantasy as usual. It's DraftKings. Welcome to the big time. Hurry over to DraftKings now and use the promo code KFC to play for free with your first deposit. You could take home the top prize along with a lifetime of bragging rights. Enter KFC for free entry now at DraftKings.com. While we are talking about kind of football free agency, let's talk about being a GM.
Hey, boys. Major sports,
what team would it be and why? And you can't choose any of your teams from your city.
Be a GM of any team in any sport, but not your own teams that you root for. Who are you going with?
I mean, like, being the GM of the Yankees would be so easy.
Right.
I don't want to say it's easy because Brian Cashman does not lead, like, a relaxing, easy life. There's a lot of pressure and a lot of expectations. It's easy in the sense that you can go make the moves you want. But, you know, they did that for many years. It didn't work out. And every single year people are like, fuck Brian Cashman. You see, forget about how Obama ages. Have you seen Cashman? I mean, granted, yeah. It's been like a 16-year tenure now or whatever, 18 years. But he looks like a bag of shit, man.
It's got to be. It has to be a GM, you have to pick baseball.
No. I was actually going to say, I think basketball might be the best one to be a GM.
Basketball, I feel like you have two or three guys in the draft.
Right.
Can change a team.
Right.
Unless you're in, I guess you could choose to be the GM of L.A., Miami, some warm weather place. Mm-hmm. Unless you're in there, then the teams aren't going. Like the players, free agents don't, like a free, like, to be Danny Ainge of the Boston Celtics, a free agent is never coming here.
I just think
that the agent will never come.
Right, but with basketball, it's almost like you just have to hit the lottery with one guy, whereas football or baseball, there's just so many moving parts. And you got to draft all these guys, and you have to watch, like, baseball, you have to draft these guys, and then you have to develop them for years and years and years.
You have to draft these guys when they're, like, 16 years old, right. And they're in the fucking right. Dominican Republic.
Football's
the hardest, no doubt.
Football, you have to nail every single draft. So I think basketball, there's two rounds in the draft, and, like, there's not that many free agents every year. It's kind of, it's like, and if you can get one guy, you're good for – you look like a genius forever.
I don't want to say it's not – it's like almost more out of your hands. It's just right. Like there's a max contract. All you can do is offer it to that guy. If he doesn't want to come, you know, right. yes, the more appealing GMs, the Pat Rileys of the world, people are like, I want to go for that guy. I want to play for that guy. But there's only so much you can do. The draft is the draft. Like I picked the consensus number one pick. He was a bust. It's really not my fault. It's really just about the right timing if you're in an NBA.
And basketball, one thing you can do there too is, I mean, you can keep that job for years because you're like, I'm working a plan. So yeah. The plan is I'm destroying this team from the inside.
Yeah.
In order to get that number one pick. And so you can keep that job for a long time. Whereas football, you have like 3 years.
So yeah, that's
and
my
you have so much to do.
My answer is the GM of like the Lakers or the Heat.
Meaning like warm weather, nice.
Yeah, warm weather. A destination, that would be a location.
You got to be able to get at least one free agent. Even in the draft, like the Lakers got Julius Randle. They got D'Angelo Russell. Like they still need one more guy, and they can hopefully get that in free agency.
And the Lakers will never. The Lakers should never be. I mean, obviously they're bad right now, but they should never have sustained awfulness because they have the prestige and it's LA, and everyone wants to go be in LA.
I think there's also an element, too, of I would want to be the guy who brought a championship to the Cubs.
Or New York for the Knicks.
Dude, the Knicks, it sucks that James Dolan is one of the worst owners in sports because that would be the perfect spot.
Yeah.
Because of all the reasons we just said about the NBA, and you're going to bring a championship to the mecca of basketball where Knicks fans are just dying for one. The whole city unites around the team. Blah, blah, blah. It would be the dream job if you weren't working for one of the biggest pricks in all of sports. Would you think about being a GM somewhere that, like, doesn't really matter? Just so you're, like, you're coasting. You're getting, like, you're doing your dream job. You're getting to fucking build a baseball team, but you're doing it in, like, Colorado. So nobody really cares. You're
like a Billy Bean almost?
What's that? Yeah, kind of like that, where it's just, like, you're a sports fan. You've loved it your whole life. You've played fantasy sports. Now you're doing it for real. And if you suck, nobody really cares.
That all comes down to the owner.
I often think that would be nice, like writing for a blog that like gets zero comments.
Yeah, which right.
I'm going to write what I want, and if you don't like it, like no one's even going to yell at me. I always think like that must be nice, but then all other times I'm like, that must be also like really lonely. Like right. You're just getting no feedback on anything ever.
It's all the owner too. Like Billy Bean, the A's notoriously, their like number one goal is to not spend a ton of money. You know what I mean? They're trying to, they're basically like, Billy, do the best you can. So he basically gets to keep a job forever because it's like, well, you told me I can't spend money and I'm putting out the best product. If you're on a team, if like the Rockies, I don't know their ownership or whatever. If there's an owner who basically is both, like, keep it, you know, don't spend a lot of money, but you have to win. That would be obviously be miserable.
Right. Yeah, Billy Bean has the built-in excuse. Like, nobody can really expect him to do too much. So when he fails, it's like, eh, whatever, man.
Every 3 years, they go for it, and then right after, they gut the whole team.
That's kind of what Sandy Alderson has that right now with the Wilpons. Like, I blame him just because the GM has to get some heat if the team does poorly. But at the end of the day, he's handcuffed. It's all the Wilpon fault.
It would be – Loria would suck down in Miami. Oh, that'd be terrible. Like, you got – here's a blank check. This team better win the World Series this year. Yeah. Otherwise, they're all gone.
That would be the worst of the worst.
So I think our final list will be basketball, baseball, hockey, football.
Yeah. I mean, I couldn't even imagine being a hockey GM, so I can't even.
Well, it's just you don't get any of the prestige.
Yeah.
I mean, Stan Bowman is the, like, is he's won 3 Stanley Cups, and if he walked down the street in any other city besides Chicago, or I guess most GMs don't, but, like, he doesn't. It's just the it's who, the fourth sport.
Who was what was the Devils guy name? Was it Lou Lamoriello? Was that him? I mean, he is one of like the most successful sports executives ever, and nobody cares.
He's like most known for throwing a bench onto the ice after a game.
What he did with the Devils was incredible, and it's just like nobody cares about the New Jersey Devils. It's you get none of the glory. Let's talk about a little bit of
the real answer. This is stupid. We didn't think of it. It'd just be the GM of the Cowboys because you don't even have to do anything.
You don't do anything.
Terry Jones is the GM, and you just stand there and you're a figurehead. I think his son might be like technically the GM.
You know what would kind of be fun? Do the Los Angeles Rams. If you could, like, you know, just you have like a fresh, clean slate, new team, Southern California. But like we said, football's tough. Let's take a couple gambling questions here. There's two
questions. I tried to quit.
Well, there's two questions here. I'll play them back to back. You can kind of comment on either one. One is about the office bookie. One is about your friend is a bookie.
One thing real quick.
Yep.
You see Oakland, the Raiders bought land in San Antonio.
Oh, that's so bad. I think I had already seen that, but that would be so shitty. The Raiders need to be in Oakland.
Yeah.
That's who they are.
Right. I mean, they were LA
first. San Antonio Raiders.
They just fit so well in Oakland.
Oh, football team in San Antonio just makes me think of the basketball team and makes me want to fall asleep.
All right, bookie talk.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Ray from Chicago. This question is basically for Big Cat. Now, I've been with this bookie for probably 2 years or whatever, and like we have a pretty good relationship. I've known him all my life, whatever, and it turns out he's a bookie, so works out that way. So he's real lenient on, like, me paying him on time and stuff, and, like, vice versa. Like, if I win, which I never fucking win, so it doesn't really work that way. But, anyway, so I'm down a shit ton. Like, I don't even know. I'm afraid to look. But he texts me Monday morning, and he goes, hey, I'm down a lot. Like, I need you to meet me tonight and pay me. And I haven't talked to him in like 2 months, but I've been betting like a little bit here and there or whatever. But like I haven't like talked to him in like 2 months. Do you think it's fucked up that like he just texted me out of nowhere and like said, hey, I need you to meet me tonight because I'm down a lot, where I haven't talked to him in like a couple weeks? Like, he can give me a little time, you know what I mean? I know it's fucked up by having like gone to him, but come on, nobody fucking does that. Alright, thanks guys, bye.
I'll let you talk, Dan. To me, this just seems kind of like why gambling is not a good idea sometimes, because you got to fucking pay up after you lose a lot. But I don't know. What's the etiquette here? Is this
you know, this kid, and I feel bad for him because I've been in that spot many times where you're just like you're down and you don't know how the fuck you're going to pay. You're staring at the ceiling on Sunday night. That's the lowest moment in the world, and I've been there far too many times. But I'll say this. He did exactly what I used to do, and it's basically like, if I don't hear from my bookie, maybe he just will never text me again. It's a mind trick you play as a gambler. You're just like, oh, yeah, like, he probably just forgot that, like, you know, that I owe him a shitload of money. So as much as it sucks that he came in from the clouds and was like, hey, I need you to pay up. You got to pay up. That's a rookie, not a rookie mistake, but something that I used to do all the time where I would just tell myself it's cool. I got time. And then my bookie would just come out of nowhere, because you got to remember, every bookie's got to pay up somewhere else.
Right.
So if he has to pay up, you're fucked. Now, so when you're going good, you're okay.
What do you think about having your buddy be your bookie? That sounds like a disaster of an idea.
It depends on how close of friends, but yeah. I feel like
you can become friends with your bookie. You shouldn't have a friend, and then he's your bookie. You know what I mean?
Right, because he'll be able to. Like, and yeah, it's better not to have that. I should say this. I have three books. One of them is, you know, a friend who I don't see very often. So it's good to have that, like, level where if you're in a really bad jam, you're like, dude, I know you. You're like, it's not – because I've had bookies before that, like, I've never met, and they just – they're so fucking ruthless that, like, I'm scared to death. So you don't want that either. It's a tricky situation. You want a perfect situation where you kind of know the guy. You can level with him. But I would say this to all gamblers out there, if you have a bookie, just try to always pay up and never get too – because you don't want to be in too big of a hole. It really is the worst. So just try to pay up. You know, I pay up because I hate being down. When I'm down, I get stressed out. So start paying up more often.
How about the office bookie?
So what was that question? Oh, you're doing play
right now, yeah.
Yeah.
Becoming the office bookie.
Ooh.
Well, okay. First of all, I don't think it's like a good look. I don't think you need like your whole office knowing like you're the gambler. If you have a real job, if you're like a normal person, I think you should probably try to keep that under wraps. It's kind of like being the office alcoholic.
Yeah, that's tough. If it's a big, big office, maybe you can get away with it. As far as like, should he do it? Why not, dude? The bookie always fucking wins. I'll be honest with you guys. I've thought about it many times. I've, you know, flirted with it, taken some action from some of my friends at times. And it's awesome because you, like, don't have to bet and you get money. So, yes, I would say, even though this is probably bad advice.
I was going to say, this is it, folks. 151 episodes in, this is the single worst bit of advice ever given on this show.
Okay.
Become the office bookie.
All right. Well, I mean, it's bad advice if you... it's good advice. Fuck that. Fuck
you
that.
You are just
it's
a gambling advice. Addict. Feidelberg, scale of 1 to a billion, how bad of advice is this?
A billion.
A billion and one.
You guys don't like money.
Yo.
Being office bookie, you get money.
When your fucking manager is down a bunch and you have to go collect on him, what do you do then?
Well, here's what I'd say is if you this guy should be the office bookie if he has the cash flow to do it himself. Like, don't get in with someone else who he has to pay to, because that would suck. So if you can figure it out yourself and you have the amount of money that, like, you can cover losses and shit and don't have to, like, be going after everyone very aggressively, then do it. I wouldn't. Why not?
What's great is that if you can use it to your advantage too. Like, all right, you know, you're down a bunch, but give me that promotion next month, and we'll call it a loss.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely. You can just take. I mean, every bookie in the world, if you're listening to this and you have a bookie who doesn't give you a percentage off of your losses, you got to find another book. Like, they'll be like, oh, we'll give you 10% off, 15% off. So you can just throw that out, and you're now the man around the office. I'm just telling you. I mean, it's good advice for me. I'm sorry you guys don't agree.
You don't have to worry about your friends as a bookie or the office bookie if you go to betdsi.com. It's one of the most
that was like the reasoning of like banging an office chick, which is also a horrible idea.
What's the reasoning? That you can
to be totally honest, I wasn't listening because
because you're gonna get lost. Yeah,
it just got Gronk was in the hospital today, so I'm a little off.
You go to betdsi.com, it's one of the more reliable sports books out there. They've been around for 16 years. They make a lot of the lines that you're playing. They got A+ on all the sports sites. And they're going to give you 10 free bucks on your next bet if you use the promo code Barstool10. That's Barstool, no space, and the number 10. By the way, condolences once again, Big Cat, on that backdoor cover, which was still just one of the most heartbreaking.
I almost quit. And then I quit for like 4 hours. So, but it was close.
Listen, if you were on the wrong side of that, go to betdsi.com and try to get back on the horse. If you're on the right side of that, you're lucky. You got the fucking Midas touch. Go to BetDSI and place another bet today.
Should I feel guilty that I like that people now gamble because I gamble?
No, because I think anybody who gambles because Big Cat gambles is a fucking asshole.
Right, but Dave and I talk about it enough that people realize how much fun. The problem is, if you don't have the sickness, if you don't have the itch, I told you this, Kevin. Like, and Nate tried to get into gambling for a while. I was like, dude, don't do it if you don't have the itch.
Right.
I have an itch that I can never stop scratching. Right.
But I also think what's good, at least from your end, I don't necessarily think Dave. I think you're pretty upfront. Like, I'm a pretty bad gambler. Don't listen to me.
Oh, awful.
I think if you're out there trying to, like, play Rico Bosco and you're screwing people over because you're bad.
Chico's not a gambler. Like,
he just gives advice, right?
No, but he's like a money manager. He bets like 50 bucks a game. He's like, don't ever bet more than you have. The fuck kind of advice is that? What's the point of betting if you can't like just put it all in and be like, oh shit, I don't know if I'm gonna be able to pay the rent.
That's the fun of it. That's why we do it.
Yes. Yes.
Let's talk about, well, I guess this is more geared towards me, but family life here.
My question is more for KFC, the whole baby thing, but I'd like all your takes on it. So, my wife and I had a kid in September, so this is my first year watching football with the baby around, and I'm a Giants fan, so I've watched some heartbreaking losses this year, and when the Giants lost, my wife has said that I'm not allowed to be upset around the baby.
Dude has a new baby. Wife will not let him be upset around the kid after a big loss in sports. This is, it's a weird feeling because I've kind of gone through this where it's like with the Jets the other day, I was like real upset, but I just kind of like turned it off when it was like, all right, I got to like take care of the kid. You know what I mean? Like, you can't be, like, throwing your phone and fucking breaking windows and, like, seriously moping because you just have, like, bigger shit fish to fry this time, you know? But, like, this, you're not allowed to be upset sort of thing is fucking nonsense. Like, a tiger can't change its stripes. There's certain things that are just always going to be there.
Well, I think what this guy's wife is probably getting at is, like, and this has happened to me slowly, where you just don't, you can't care as much as you get older.
Yeah.
It's still true. Care.
Yeah.
But you just can't, like, you can't wear a lot. I used to wear losses for, like, weeks at a time. I just can't do it anymore because I'm like, you know, I got other shit to worry about. So that's probably, but I agree, like, in terms of in the moment, if something dumb happens or someone fucks up, that's a natural knee jerk to just, like, flip out. I don't think that should ever be taken away from you.
There's a commercial right now for a car, I think, where the guy, like, they kicked the game-winning field goal,
yeah.
And he kisses the baby, hands it off, and goes and screams in the car because it's soundproof. There's some element of that, too, though, where it's just like, I mean, you can't be, like, fucking hooting and hollering and screaming and yelling. Not really because your wife tells you you're not allowed to. That's kind of fucked up. It's just more like, it's just, I don't know, it's different. It's like what you said, but times more because now you have a kid on top of just being an older person.
I'd also tell him to just get a group text. I do, like, really angry group texts with my friends. I'm just like, do you fucking believe this? Like,
say God damn inappropriate it. Shit there.
Right, exactly. That it's actually very therapeutic. Be like, I can't, if you went through my group text, I can't tell you how many times I'm like, I'm done fucking watching the Bears. I'm like, the Badgers fucking stink. Like, the Cubs are great, so I don't, that's always happy group text. But, like, that will happen all the time, so.
fights, have you felt the change in sports fandom yet, where it's not, you're just not quite as intense as you used to be?
Yes, but not as, not with my team. Like I've said 100 times the last year or two, like the NFL, I don't watch every NFL game anymore. I watch the Patriots and then everything else I kind of keep an eye on. Like whereas it used to be, like Sunday is for me being on the couch for 12 hours and watching every single game. Now it's like, you know, the Pats play at 4, I'll look at the 1 o'clock games, and then by the time Sunday night TV rolls around, I'm probably watching that instead of football.
Right.
But no, with my teams, I'm still pretty much as passionate as I can be.
Yeah, and you should, I mean, you should hold on to that for as long as you can. Do that. Stay there. Stay there forever, dude, as long as you possibly can.
Well, it's also, again, it's not like a dickhead, like, it's easier to do that when your teams aren't good. Like, if the team sucked and I knew they had no shot every year, it'd be like, you know, I'll glance at it when I can. But, like, pretty much every year,
that is where
my teams are in the mix.
Year after year after year of, like, you know they have no shot is where it just, like, the Knicks, like, I used to be, like, a diehard, people don't realize this, like, almost more than the Mets. I was, like, a diehard Knicks fan. And then that Isaiah era and, like, all the 2000s were so bad that it was just, like, after a decade straight of it, you just can't recapture it.
And that's absolutely true, too, with, like, going into each season. I mean, the reason why I was so, so heartbroken with the Cubs this year is I went into the season never thinking they would get as far as they did. And to go on that ride, like, and have so much fun. And then you look at the Bears, you knew they were going to suck. The Bulls, like, people keep getting me, like, yelling at me for being down on the Bulls. They're fun to watch. They're not going to beat LeBron.
You just know where it's going.
It's like so hard to be like, dude. And then the Blackhawks are the opposite, where you're like, the regular season is almost a formality. It's like, let's just get to the playoffs because that's when they shine.
Right. Well, fuck you for that. But yeah, the baby sports life is. We'll see. We'll see how that all plays out. Feidelberg, you were asking me earlier about whether or not I am getting sleep, and part of the reason I do look so refreshed and I'm not complaining about it, John, is because I'm on a Casper mattress. That's the best sell possible. You got a new kid, and you got only precious hours here and there where you can fall asleep. Get yourself a Casper mattress, because you'll know you'll fall asleep right away. You don't have to worry about it at all. It's made out of, like, a little bit of memory foam, a little bit of spring mattress. It's this hybrid material. It's unbelievable. Time magazine actually called it one of the best inventions of 2015. You're not even sleeping on a bed, John. You're sleeping on a brand new invention. And they got pillows. If you were listening to Mail Time last week, I was saying how it's impossible to find the right pillow. Well, now you can get yourself a Casper pillow. It's got dual layers with a billion microfibers. 1 billion. We're talking the Powerball of pillows. So go over to Casper.com and use the promo code KFC for $50 towards your purchase of a mattress. You also get a test trial period for 100 nights. You get free shipping, and if you want to return it after 100 nights, it's a free return. Head over to Casper.com, use the promo code KFC. Terms and conditions apply. A couple more voicemails. What do we got here? Let's talk. This is a good old-fashioned when Big Cat first came around sort of question. We probably actually have done it before, but let's talk about animals.
What's up, KFC? It's your boy Jack. Caveat being, you have to live with this appendage for the rest of your life. For instance, a lot of people I've asked this question to have chosen wings. However, if you choose wings, how are you going to sleep for the rest of your life? You're never going to be laid down on your back forever. A couple good answers I've gotten have been gills of a fish, Hawkeyes, cold-blooded animal. That's been a pretty popular one. So, again, question to you guys is, you could choose one trait of any animal in the world to have on your human body.
First of all, who's picking cold-blooded animal?
Yeah, and the answer is...
Why would you want that?
And the answer is also very easy. I don't want to, like... Maybe we'll come up with something better, but how do you not just pick a cheetah's speed?
I think wings are pretty appealing. Flying is pretty cool.
But a cheetah's speed, you could be a professional athlete.
Oh, yeah. All right. So you're... Well, a cheetah's speed is almost like... It's the best choice because you don't have to change... You don't have to be like an animal. You can just be...
Right. You don't want to be a guy walking around with wings.
That's right. You can be a normal person who's just super fucking fast and go be an NFL fucking wide receiver. Go be Usain Bolt. Go be whoever you want.
Right.
I would... trying to think of... Play devil's advocate here or just think of other options.
I mean, if you want to
the strength of a bear would be fun.
Yeah, it would be fun. If you want to say that you can fly without wings, then I would take flying. Everyone would, I would assume.
Right.
But if you're talking about, like, you actually get the change and shit, I'd just take the change.
Well, what about this? You have to run on four legs, on your hands and legs.
That's fucking weird.
Would you still pick cheetah?
Is there any...
Like, an ostrich runs upright, and they're pretty fast. Would you want ostrich speed? It's not exactly sexy, but...
So, I'll just take Usain Bolt speed. He's an animal.
He's an animal. No, that's cheating. You can't you can't pick a human trait. It's got to be an animal trait. How about this, Dan? I know your short-distance swimming is not great. Would you pick, like, the ability to swim, like, or the gills of the fish, like he said?
So... The only reason I'd pick the gills of a fish is then you'd be, like, what's his name, from Waterworld.
Kevin Costner from Waterworld.
That'd be pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, right? I mean, that would be, you're kind of a freak with gills.
But here's the problem, and then this comes back, like, I don't want to swim in the ocean. The ocean's fucking scary. What do I want to do? What would I do with being able to stay underwater and swim like a fish?
Your only thing would be able to, like, you'd bet people. Be like, yo, I bet I can hold my breath for 5 minutes, and you wouldn't.
Yeah, I'm sticking
How
with
about, shit. What's something that can jump really high? I'm picking that. What
like
animal
a,
jumps?
Like a rabbit or something?
No, I need like high. I need to be able to like fucking fly.
Pretty sure a rabbit can jump really high, dude.
No, a cricket can jump really high. Cricket can jump 30 times its size, Dan.
Oh, like, okay, yeah, that would actually
NBA
be...
NBA Jam. Boom shakalaka.
Cricket would be nice. I can't think of...
Cricket's the worst choice ever.
Yeah, cricket is a really bad choice.
Who you got? You want to be an animal? What are you picking? John?
Sorry, I was just finishing that Gronk bug. What was the question?
One animal characteristic, but you have to, like, live with it. You know, you can't just fly. You have to have wings like a weirdo. One animal characteristic. What do you got?
Okay. Go ahead, John. But I got another one.
Hit me, big cat.
All right. I would take, and this is an old school big cat question now that we're unraveling this.
Right.
I would take being a poisonous frog. Could you imagine just being able to kill people and no one would know why? Like, anyone you hate, you just go and kill them and you never get charged for murder.
Now, do you think you have, like, the moral ability to do that and just be like, I'm a cold-blooded murderer and no one knows it?
I think if you had no risk whatsoever of ever getting caught, murder would... be fun.
I don't know if I could murder people.
I mean, that's a whole other can of worms. Like, if you never got caught, would you murder someone? If I was a poisonous frog and I could just be like, boop, the Wilpons are dead. Boop, everyone in the Aggies are dead. Like, that would be, it'd be incredible, but I don't know if I could actually go around massacring people left and right.
Yeah, I probably could. Yeah, I probably could.
So, say you wicked fat. I know you mentioned the cheetah. You have cheetah legs?
I said you had to run on all four legs. On your hands and feet.
You'd have to have the tail, too, because the tail is how they keep their speed.
I mean, that's why my compromise was an ostrich. You run like an ostrich. You're pretty fast, and you can run on 2 feet. Again, not sexy. I'm just trying to be practical.
What would I have to have bear strength?
See, that one, I don't know. I mean, if you had to have, like, giant bear paws, I guess...
Yeah. What about a dog's happiness?
Yeah, there you go.
That's good.
I mean, every time we do these animal questions, it always comes back to dog.
Yeah.
I just want to be a dog.
Like, yeah. Just being always happy. And
always
being
happy and the ability to just, like, forget. Like, I don't know. That thing over there upset me, but I don't care about it anymore.
Right. I'm just not going to go over in that corner anymore. I'll just be happy over here.
Right. The dog's ignorance is just pure, true bliss.
Dude, I got a. Do you have a coat for Duncan when it gets really cold?
I tried in the beginning, but he doesn't like it. I don't think you really need it.
I have one. We've never used it. I put it on. It was like -5 the other day. I put it on Stella. She just froze. She wouldn't move. She didn't know what to do. She just stood in the middle of my living room for like 10 minutes and just didn't move, didn't wag her tail. She thought that she was like in jail or something. So I think I'm going to start doing that when she pisses me off.
I'm not big on dog clothes.
No.
I don't like that.
It was so cold. The problem was, and so I don't know if this happens to you, it's when it gets so cold and they won't take a shit.
Yeah.
Like, dude, you haven't shat in 2 days. I know you have to shit and you won't fucking do it. Like, I'm putting everything on you and we're going outside.
I tried dog shoes last winter.
Those are so funny.
Because, and they like,
yeah, they just like go like this. Yeah. It's like they have thumb on their feet.
He gets the fucking salt in his paws, though, and he's dying. So it's like, I'm not doing this to be cute, man. I'm trying to help you out here.
Yeah.
Sports Truth Serum. And then we'll do two more and we'll wrap it up.
Okay, here's my sports question for everyone. You have two Truth Serum pills that you can give to any one of your franchises and anyone in the franchise, from the owner all the way down to the towel boy, where then you can ask them anything and they'll give you the God's honest truth about whatever took place, whether it be a firing, a hiring, a trade, or if you just want to know some fucked up crazy shit about a player. Who do you give it to and what do you ask?
That's an interesting question. I think we've talked about this before in sports in general point of view. We talked about we would ask David Stern about the MJ retirement. We would ask OJ if he did it. But if it's your team, do you have any, like, skeletons in your closet of your team that you want to know the truth on?
That's a tough one.
I already know all my truths. We didn't do Spygate. We didn't do Deflategate.
Well, yeah, that's different for you. I know that I would love to give all the Texans truths here and be like, how much do you hate J.J. Watt?
Yeah, I mean, if you extend it to other to not just your teams, there's a lot of good questions out there that you want the real truth on. I need to talk to Cal Ripken about that whole Kevin Costner fucked his wife thing.
I want to
give Fernando Tatis the truth serum and be like, did you fuck Joe Buck? Even if he says no, I just kind of want to know. He'll probably say no, but I want to know.
I would I'd like to know if Derrick Rose and Jimmy Butler actually hate each other. Or just, like, what everyone thinks about Derrick Rose. That would be a good one.
Oh, I need to just sit down with Derek Jeter and ask him a million questions.
Yeah.
What he thinks about A-Rod, did he do HGH, who was the best girl he ever fucked? I mean, Derek Jeter is a wealth of secrets.
Great one.
We'll give it some thought. Maybe we'll flesh that out a little bit next week.
I'd probably just talk to Belichick. Like, I just ask him questions like a press conference style.
Well, Belichick, it would be valuable to actually get some, like, answers. If you could have you could have the exclusive scoop on things that he just never would answer because he just stonewalls everybody.
How good was that vibe when the reporter was like, Bill, how's your eye? And he was just like, great.
No, he said, how'd it happen?
No, yeah, but then they said, how's it feeling, too? And he just goes, great.
Great.
Fights, let me ask you this, man. Do you cook at all? Are you like seamless type of order out delivery every single time?
I try to cook as much as I can.
You do? Do you have any specialties that you whip up?
No, I'm pretty straightforward grilled chicken and vegetables.
Dan, are you a cooker?
No. Come on.
I am not a cooker. No, come on. I was like king of seamless and... We were talking earlier about your sports fandom changing. What's really changing for me is like I gotta try to start cooking. I can't just like order takeout for life if I'm gonna have like an actual family. So I'm giving it a whirl with plated.com. They're one of those pre-made, pre-ordered meals that just show up right to your door. And it's a perfect way to like ease into kind of like adulthood when it comes to food. I've given it a chance before. It didn't quite work out for me. Now I'm kind of ready for it. Yeah, you don't have to plan out your meals. You don't have to go shopping. You don't have to push the cart or do the big cat where you carry all your groceries in one hand. It's easy and it gets delivered right to you. If you go to plated.com/KFC now, you'll get a fantastic first order on your delivery. You get new recipes, new food. It's kind of healthy. It's relatively inexpensive, and you're not ordering takeout every single night like a college kid. It's time to grow up, time to be a man, and get it delivered right to your house. So it's nice and easy and convenient. You'll get chef-quality dinners right at your home in a few simple steps. Hurry over to plated.com/KFC now and get a free dinner for two with your first delivery. That's a free dinner for two with your first Plated box. Go to plated.com/KFC for terms and details. One more voicemail here, and we will wrap it up. Let me pick a good one for us. Fights, are you excited for Patriots football, bud?
I am, Kevin. I like playoff football.
Any nerves at all?
Well, this Gronk situation isn't bueno.
I just read that. When are you guys going to start getting mad that Belichick played everyone in that Dolphins game? It feels like everyone got hurt in that Dolphins game.
I think Gronk hurt himself Monday. He practiced full pump Monday. He was on vacation on Saturday and Sunday. If he needed treatment, he would. Gronk's like, he's got the reputation of like the party boy because he was when he was younger, but like he's not that anymore. He wouldn't go on vacation if he needed treatment.
I mean, he's still a party boy, but yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, dude, we're talking about a Gronk.
No, the offseason he is. When was the last time he was ever doing anything during the regular season?
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, I don't necessarily think that Gronk is like an angel on a bye week.
No, but I think Gronk wants to win Super Bowls, and if he needed treatment, he wouldn't be at a pool in Florida on Saturday afternoon.
Gronk aside, do you get nervous at all about an 11-game winning streak from the Chiefs? I know, you know, their competition was not exactly stellar, but
11 games,
bro. That's very, very hard to do.
11 games is a lot. But fully healthy, no, I do not get worried about it. Without a Gronk, I get a little worried, yes.
All right. At least there's a reasonable answer there. let's finish it off with a perfect question for Feitelberg. Let's talk about squirting.
There you go, Fights.
Wheelhouse.
Territory. So before the holidays, I hooked up with this girl, and when I was fingering her, she squirted. And it wasn't that much, but it was enough to tell me that I never wanted it to happen again. Didn't do it when we fucked, so I figured just have to avoid fingering her after the holidays. She comes to my place, avoid putting my fingers in there, and while we're fucking, she just
going to the water park every time we have sex. I'll kick it right to you, Feitelberg.
No, go to Dan first because I'm editing this blog about.
Okay, so here's the thing. Part of me when I hear we've heard variations of this before. I get that it's not very practical. I can understand where the novelty wears off and it's just kind of annoying. But listen, if you're complaining to me that you're banging a chick who's like super hot and kinky and squirts everywhere, you're a fucking asshole. That's the way I feel about this.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's like, you know, be grateful. Be a little bit thankful.
Bro, you're having sex.
Yeah, I mean, that's the basic crux of it all. And on top of it, you're getting, albeit impractical, you're getting, like, porn star sex.
I'll say this, though. I've never dealt with a situation like what he described. I would imagine that after a while, you're probably just like, I want to have sex without having to put on a raincoat.
Right. And that I totally understand. I don't know. I mean, you know, do you get in a relationship with her? Well, the thing is, you get in a relationship, eventually you stop having sex anyway, so the problem goes away. Ride this out now while you can and have some fun with it.
Yeah.
Don't complain about it.
Yeah.
I get it's not the best situation, but, you know, come on. Resident squirt expert John Feitelberg, you got to weigh in on this.
The question is, would you date her?
He's saying, like, what do I do? I mean, he's like, he thought at first it was just fingering her, and then he said when he was having sex with her, it was a disaster. He's like, do I stop hooking up with her? What do I do? He's like, I just don't want to go to the water park every time I have sex with her. How about you just don't bang her as good, dude?
No, the main thing is you got to go to her place.
And just ruin all her stuff?
Yeah. like it sucks when it's like, hey, can I come over? And it's like, listen, I fucking just did my sheets. Like, I don't want to do them again tomorrow. I got a whole 6 months before I have to do them again. You just be like, yeah, I'll come to your spot and we can fucking ruin your place. You have flood insurance. I'm not fucking dealing with this again.
I mean, if it's going to be a long-term thing, you have to have like a Dexter setup where your room is just draped in plastic, or it's just like straight shower every time. I don't know. You gotta get creative with it and figure out.
Leather couch. You gotta go on a leather couch.
Just wipe it down and you're done.
A quick wipe down. It's not like cloth. It's not going to get into it. It's just have sex on leather couches all the time. Gross. That's my final answer. Only have sex on leather couches.
All right, well, there you have it. Final words from Feitelberg. I say just stop complaining about it. Don't be a little girl and just enjoy the ride. That's it for KFC Radio 151. We will catch you next week. We're out.
Is this Barstool?
BarstoolSports.com. Is that right? BarstoolSports.com.
It's your boy KFC.
Become kind of a craze.
Your boy Big Cat.
Kind of a craze.
And your boy Feitelberg.
So go to BarstoolSports.com if you do. God bless you.
You listen to KFC Radio.